Welcome to Be Strong Minded Podcast. I'm Petia Kolibová, a mind, body, and soul transformation guide, meditation teacher, fitness and wellness expert, self-love junkie, and lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I will be offering an interview or idea that will support you to build a strong mindset and confidence to leave behind your past suffering, enjoy the present moment, and create the life you deserve. I will take you on a journey of self-discovery by elevating your energy and connecting with your soul while offering simple steps and tools you can use right now to create a healthy and empowered life you love. Thank you everyone for joining on another episode of Be Strong Minded. Today I have a beautiful guest with me, beautiful from really inside out, Sahara Rose. For those who don't know her, she is the best-selling author of Eat, Feel Fresh, which is already her second book, and plant-based Ayurvedic cookbook, and the first one was Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda. She has been called a leading voice for millennial generation into the new paradigm shift by Deepak Chopra, who wrote the foreword of both of her titles. Sahara hosts her amazing podcast, Highest Self Podcast, ranked as the number one top podcast in the spirituality category on iTunes. Her mission is to awaken people to their innate potential so they can share their gifts and fulfill their purpose on this planet. So beautiful to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited. And I will share something, and it's a confession publicly. Before I knew who you are, like before I dive deeper in your journey, I was curious about herbs and Ayurveda. So I went to Amazon and I was looking for something simple because sometimes the ancient art and teachings are really complex. So I went online and I'm looking on Amazon, you know, like basics for Ayurveda. And I see there, Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda. And I'm like, I'm not an idiot. Who do you think you are? So I gotta admit that the first one, I got the Ayurveda for dummies. So I cheated on you. Mm. But I feel like how interesting and incredible it is that later on, months later, I have you and now I have your second books that I'm super excited to finish and have you here in person, because I feel, Sahara, that you are someone who truly represents what we are sharing on this podcast, and that is how to create a fulfilling life that feels amazing on the inside, not just looks good on the outside.
Absolutely, yes. And I love that you're sharing that with your community.
Yeah, and I know that your podcast, it's absolutely incredible and it's truly shifting the way people feel and think. So I'm wondering, what is the one thing that you would love people to know if they never ever heard about you before?
About me or just know in general?
You.
Maybe that I did not grow up spiritual or healthy or any of these things. And it's something that anyone can learn if they have the real passion for. But I definitely did not grow up in like a hippie family that gave me essential oils when I was sick. The total opposite.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really great to know because that really gives us a hope that it's never too late. So when did it started to change for you? If it wasn't something that you were raised with, so when was there the shift for you?
Yeah, the shift happened when I was about in middle school. I was very overweight by that point because I was addicted to junk food. My parents were immigrants to the country, so I didn't fit in to, you know, everyone around me was like white and had American names, and I couldn't even speak English. In fact, my first language was Spanish before I spoke Farsi. Yeah, but now it's not so good now, but I couldn't fit in with the kids, but I could eat like them. So I started to eat a lot of junk food, which later on turned into being overweight, allergies, asthma, couldn't go outside, and then started to practice yoga to help me lose weight. That was really what I got in there for. And then when I started to practice yoga, I felt so much more connected with my body, and I started to read more books about yoga and the practice. And then, long story short, then like 10 years later, when I'm in college, I get so into health that I became a raw vegan. And that's when I went the other side and my health really started to deteriorate again, but in a different way. This time my hair was falling out and my digestion really suffered. And I didn't get my period for 2 years. I was breaking all of my bones. And that was because I had what now I know as a Vata imbalance, too much air in my system. But at that time, I didn't know. I went to every kind of doctor you could imagine, gastroenterologist, endocrinologist. I was prescribed antidepressants, IBS medication, birth control, like all different sorts of pills to fix these problems, but no one was getting to the root of what was happening to me. And that's when I discovered Ayurveda and healing the body, but also felt like it's so ancient, it doesn't make sense. Is this based in science? A lot of these practices don't, like, for example, a lot of ghee. Ghee is the solution to everything. And I was vegan since I was 15. So how can I take this wisdom of Ayurveda, which is describing me so accurately and everything that's going on, from like anxiety and insomnia to bloating, gas, constipation, things I didn't even know were connected. I learned were connected. So I knew there was so much truth, but I did not resonate 100% with the way that it was being practiced. So that's when I decided to kind of develop my own approach, which is now my book, Eat, Feel Fresh. So really why I'm into it is because I needed the help myself.
I love it. You know, there are two things that I'm mainly hearing. The first one, when we are growing up, we have such a strong desire to belong. Mm-hmm. We would do so many crazy things just to belong, just to feel part of something, so we are not alone, and it can be hurting us in the process. So I'm really happy that you turn around, you know, and that you find your own way, that for you that time was yoga. And the other thing that I'm hearing, which is really amazing, is you really found your own way. Because that something was working for many people in Ayurveda doesn't mean that you cannot adjust it to the lifestyle nowadays. Because I was reading, you know, the dummy guys. I'm like, well, I'm vegetarian, you know, but there are also many things. I don't do dairy. Like here, there maybe something, you know, happens, but I'm like, what do you do if, you know, you don't align with it completely? So it's incredible that you really find your own way. And I truly love that you are such an inspiration to millennials, because they really feel it's so much overwhelming information. How do you find your own way? So that's amazing that you really found it and now you're teaching it others. May I ask you personally, what is the difference between the dummies guys and the first book that you wrote, The Idiot's Guide, just for my own sake?
Yeah, so there are two different companies, really. There's like dummies for everything and there's idiots. They're just two different companies. I have read The Dummies Guide. It's actually a UK book. It's not an American book. It's a lot more basic. Like it doesn't cover as much. The Idiot's Guide, I mean, I really, it's the probably also the most in-depth, like in the terms of what I talk about, from spirituality, the chakras, the koshas, all of the layers of digestion. So it's the best-selling Ayurveda book in the world right now. So I suggest checking it out. It's a book that I'm really proud of.
No, yeah, I will. Because when I find out that it's you, I'm like, oh, I should have bought it. You know, yeah. But you see, like, that's the ego. That's like, oh, I'm not an idiot. Like, why would I buy
it? So you're a dummy instead.
Right. Like, what sounds better? It's just your own perception. But when you put it on the side, like that desire to be learning and growing and bettering yourself should be first, not your ego. So
yes. Yeah, and I also didn't choose the title. I was actually hired by the Idiot's Guide group to write the book. So that's why you'll see Idiot's Guides to basically any subject in the world out there. And in general, they are a really good way of like starting from not knowing anything to becoming an expert. And you can kind of choose where you want to be.
Oh, trust me, I'm ordering yours. So, and I'm suggesting to the listeners too, because it's really amazing that you can start from the basics and then see if you're curious, you know, I invite people to pursue their curiosity. So let's dive back into your story. So how did you discover Ayurveda? Like, or how did it find you? Because I know you mentioned that, you know, doctors and everything, but there, I feel like there is a little gap of what was it? Did you heard about it from someone or book or what popped on you?
Yeah. So the first time I had heard the word Ayurveda was in my health coaching program. And I thought it was pretty interesting because it's like a personality quiz, which I've always loved, with a health system. So I'm like, this is really awesome. And I read about the doshas and I was like, I'm definitely Vata. But again, it wasn't something I was super diving into, especially because of the dairy products and because I was a raw vegan at the time, which is the opposite. And then I was in India teaching health and sanitation in the slums. I used to live in India. And while I was there going through all these health problems, I decided, well, why not just visit an Ayurvedic practitioner? I have nothing else to lose. So I went thinking of it as more just like another opinion, not really something that I would ever really dive into. And the moment that she saw me, she said, Beta, which means daughter. She's like, oh, you're too pretty to never have baby. And she knew that my body was infertile, and not just that I was infertile, but I was at risk of Alzheimer's and osteoporosis because I had zero hormones in my body, zero estrogen, zero testosterone. I was straight up a woman who had gone through menopause when I was 21 years old. That's why I would faint because my brain wasn't getting nutrients. That's why all my joints were cracking because I wasn't getting, you know, holding in the calcium when you don't have estrogen. Sex was painful for me. Like my body was essentially like drying up. I would eat something and feel in so much pain that I would like be on the couch just like, please God, like help me just get through this. And that would make you more afraid of eating, and couldn't sleep at night, like sleep like max 2 hours at a time, and all of these problems. And then Ayurveda was the first system ever to show me how they were all interconnected as an air imbalance, air in my mind, air in my body, air in my digestive system, in my bones, etc. So it really found me, as you said, and I truly believe I was brought to India for that reason, to find Ayurveda, and it's part of the soul contract of mine.
I love that. And I love that we always get what we need and when we are ready for it. Because maybe if you would find about Ayurveda or you were in India before you were the raw vegan, it wouldn't click, yeah, because you didn't have enough pain. And it's sad because sometimes we really need that pain to know the contrast, to really appreciate and value it and see what we really want. So let's
I had so much shame. I didn't want anyone to know that I was doing the Ayurveda stuff because there I was a raw vegan blogger. So how can I, who's promoting raw vegan, now eat this cooked food? So I had so much shame. I was like in the closet about it for so long. And then eventually I came out and I was like, now I'm following this more Ayurveda. And I tried everything. And even in my journey to heal myself, I tried going paleo, I tried keto, I tried Chinese medicine, I tried literally everything you could imagine. And Ayurveda is what I saw the most results with, not just physically, but also mentally. I was always someone who, I don't really know what I'm going to do with my life. I had a lot of ideas. I was very scattered, not sure where I want to live. I just wanted to travel for the rest of my life. And with the shifting of my diet, of the more grounding foods, I became a more grounded person. And when I had the download to write this book, it wasn't just an idea that flickered away. I kept on working on it, though I had never met an author in my life. And actually, I got to a point that I was pretty much disowned by my entire family. I lost all friends, relationships, everything in my life, because people thought I was crazy to be dedicating my life to write about this health system that no one knows about and not being paid for it. And it really was like the universe's test of how bad do you want this? And I literally chose that and sharing this over everything that I had in my life, and went through so much pain in just that process. But I think that's what has anchored me back into my truth, to know that like this is worth it for me. And now, luckily, years later, I'm on good terms with my parents, but like there were a good 2 years that we weren't speaking because they were so upset that I was writing about Ayurveda.
Wow. Wow. That's really, thank you so much for sharing it, you know, because what I see, it's like we get put labels by others that, you know, help us raised or our surroundings, even ourselves, we put labels on us. And then it's so hard because you built something. Let's say, for example, you build this community about being raw vegan and you believed in that moment. And then you find that it's not serving you. I had a client who she too was a vegan and she built her like weight loss on Instagram and she was competitive about vegan. And now she's like, Pity, I feel so guilty because like I had egg or I had a cheese and I feel like so terrible. Like I'm lying to people. I'm like, well, you evolve. You got to embrace it. And people who love you for you will love you no matter what you are doing, because you got to give yourself permission to grow. You got to get yourself in the place that it's okay to change. Because I always think about nature. If we are not growing, we are really dying.
Yeah.
And being like this flat and everything is good and everything is the same, like flat line for me, it's dead. Mm-hmm. You know.
So true. I think of the earth as always rotating and evolving. And if you're not moving with the earth, then you're falling behind. And that's the hard thing about building a personal brand, because you spend so time building this brand of who you are. And then once you reach that branding, you're someone else. And then you're stuck as this former version of yourself. So this is the hard paradigm of living in social media.
Yeah, that's what I did. I'm laughing because I was talking also with my guest before. She was IFBB competitor. She built her brand, her coaching, everything there. And now she wants to go deeper and just do really personal development coaching. I built my brand about fitness and social media marketing. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel right. And it's just really interesting to know what feels right to you and other people still see you, because many people don't change. Like, this is the way I am. And that's how it is in my country, back in Czech Republic. You are born somewhere and you will die like three houses like further, or maybe, you know, 50 miles further if you get wild. And when I was 21, I moved to London, then I moved to Spain for 4 years. And, you know, it's just fascinating when you give yourself permission, what's really possible.
Yes. In the Zen tradition, they say some people are like lakes and others are like rivers. And the lake remains kind of the same their whole life. And the river is constantly reinventing themselves. So we've chosen this soul path of reinvention and shedding and shattering. And it comes with constant death and rebirth.
Like a phoenix. Yes, absolutely. And I loved it. I never heard of the lake and rivers. Thank you so much for sharing it. Yeah. Always something new to learn. So what I would like to really learn for someone who never ever heard about Ayurveda, right before they will go online and buy your book, what are some things that you can share? I don't know if you would like to share about the three different, you know, styles or personalities, or if you would rather share something that it's good for the three doshas, the three styles, personalities for people. I will give you the freedom.
Sure. So, well, Ayurveda, for people who don't know, it's the world's oldest health system. And it's a sister science of yoga based off of mind-body balance. So if you're going to yoga class because you have anxiety or your back hurts or you have digestive issues, whatever it is, you're actually practicing Ayurveda. So yoga means to yoke with Brahma, universal source consciousness. And Ayurveda is the science of life. Mind-body integration. So really a lot of people are practicing Ayurveda already. If you change your diet with the season, you're practicing Ayurveda. If you're noticing, if you're cold, you gravitate to something warm. And if you're warm, you gravitate to something more cooling, like a coconut water. That's Ayurveda. Chinese medicine is based off of Ayurveda surgery, homeopathy. These are all ancient Ayurvedic practices. So it's not so far off. It's things that we just don't know. We just didn't have the language for. And there are so many avenues that you can come to Ayurveda from. You can come to it from massage background, from beauty background, from nutrition, from spirituality. The chakra system is part of Ayurveda. So I say everyone has their own entry point, but we all end up in the same place. So if you're an esthetician, I would look up Ayurvedic esthetician practices. If you are a body worker, I would look up the Marma points and the way that Ayurveda looks at the body and their meridian channels. If you are a health coach or a nutritionist, I would look up Ayurvedic nutrition, how to create the diet for the doshas, how it changes with season, with life cycles, with the times of day. I would go to what interests you, and then naturally you're going to go to the rest of the places when the time is right.
That's such a smart answer. I love that. Because every person will have a different interest, and okay, they will be like, I don't care about massages. Although I don't know who wouldn't care about oil essential, you know, like beautiful massages. But yes, you're absolutely right. Each can find something in Ayurveda. So let me ask you, what is one thing that you do every single day that it's on Ayurveda base that you wouldn't go one day by?
For me, it's tongue scraping. So tongue scraping is to take this U-shaped device and you scrape your tongue. And not only is it good for good breath, but it's actually for digestion. That's the real reason why it was done. So our tongues have receptors that are constantly seeing everything that we're eating. They're sensing, oh, this is a protein, this is a carb, this is a fat. And then they're sending signals to our digestive system of what digestive environment we need, what, you know, carbs need, amylase, the different enzymes needed, right? So it's this communication that's happening. And if your tongue is coated in white stuff, the mucus, in Ayurveda it's called amma, then it's like a condom is over your tongue and your tongue is not able to sense the foods that you were eating. Therefore, it's not able to prepare the right digestive environment. So once you start tongue scraping, I promise you, you're going to be like, how did I go my whole life without it? And you'll be able to see, like, for example, last night I ate my cousin's Persian food and she had too much oil in it. It was very heavy. And today my tongue was like white. It was like, so I could see that did not digest well with me. But I was in Hawaii last week eating tons of fresh fruit and really healthy food. And when I would tongue scrape, basically nothing came off. So it's a really good idea to have a strong relationship with your tongue. It's like a crystal ball to our health, as I say. If you have a lot of cracks, there's a vata imbalance. If you have very red tip, there's a pitta imbalance. If you have very white all over, kapha imbalance. So scrape your tongue every day and just look at your tongue in the mirror.
That's incredible. Thank you. And I also know that depending on what type you are, you can choose the different material, you know, for like a silver or, so which one would you recommend that people can start with if they don't know yet their style type?
Yeah, so I recommend stainless steel across the board. Ayurveda traditionally uses a lot of copper. Sometimes for pitta, they'll use silver, but I don't like copper because of the chances of the heavy metals leaking. Some people do have heavy metal toxicity. Copper is a heavy metal. It's not a per se, but stainless steel is something that they use in surgeries because it's such a solid and safe and antibacterial metal. So I would say everyone just go for stainless steel.
Yeah, that's great because you can really start right away. So for someone who really wants to find more balance in their life, do you have any rituals they can start to do right away?
Balance in your life in a mental way,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would look at if you continued your life exactly as you are right now, where is it going? And sometimes we focus so much, like, yes, it's the little things, but we have to also pay attention to the big things. You can be meditating and eating organic food and all the kale in the world, but if you're like, I work this corporate job and I don't want to see myself in this 20 years from now, so I'm going to focus on my meditation or I'm going to focus on dry brushing. Like that's not getting to the root of the problem. So really look at the grand trajectory of your life and like, where is this train going? Right? Because a little shift in your direction will make the train end up somewhere totally else. And put that energy into, you know, really setting yourself up for doing what it is that your soul came here to do. I believe most health problems come from spiritual imbalances, and so much of my vata imbalance came from the imbalance in my mind, and it was manifesting in the physical reality. And we can, you know, create diseases totally from our mind. So for me, I say, go look at where you are going and where it is that you want to be going. And probably you're not even sure where you want to be going. And that's when you create the space and the sacred pauses and the moments that you get in the car and you don't start calling your mom or you don't ask your friend every time you need advice. Just these little pauses and moments of breath, the space between the inhale and the exhale. And that's when you start to remember who you really are and what your truth is. And then the ideas and the downloads just come to you.
It's beautiful because I feel like so often, and especially in nowadays society, we are numbing. We are afraid to be in silence. So we put our radio on or we listen to our audiobooks and we think how amazing we are because we keep learning. We never give ourselves the pauses, the breaks, to be truly just with and by ourselves. So would you say it's this sacred spouses and these spaces that we create that allow us and lead us back to our soul purpose? Or is there anything else we can do to truly discover the soul purpose we have?
You know, I think things like listening to an audiobook or a podcast are very good because they help plant that seed. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to this podcast, you're feeling inspired, and then you just listen to the next episode. What was the point of that? Like, let this conversation sink in. Like, what did that feel like for your body? What did you get out of that? What do you want to add to the conversation? And maybe spend the rest of this car ride in silence, just letting your thoughts go. And you know, there's not just meditation, there's also contemplation. And I think contemplation is something that is missing in society because we're like, go, go, go. Okay, now be silent. Now be numb. Now be this. And contemplation is how you create ideas and philosophy. And for me, so if I'm taking a walk, I let my mind wander. Even in a yoga class, I'm not only just breathing and do in total sadhana, I'm thinking, I'm letting myself process through things the same way that you would with a friend. We need to have this conversation more with ourselves.
I love that because, you know, sometimes it feels like so much pressure. You're either working your mind, and then you're like, okay, now I gotta sit and empty my mind and nothing is moving.
And that's so masculine. The masculine is silent. It is Shiva. It is turn everything off. I want to be in silence. But the Shakti, the feminine, is this doing and this dancing and this thinking. And that's why seated meditations, a lot of women can't do them, and they don't find benefit in them. Maybe once they've danced or they've shaked or they've moved, then they can sit in that meditation. But a seated meditation is a Shiva cultivating practice, and it has been traditionally practiced through men. The way the woman would meditate is they would gather, they would sing, they would dance, they would chant, they'd cook, they'd weave baskets. This is the Shakti meditation practice. And you don't have to just be a woman to do it, but I think our society is so masculine that it's like work or nothing, and we need more Shakti back in.
This is so incredible. I absolutely love it because I never thought about it this way, you know, that woman, we really are better in flow and that it's okay to think, you know, let yourself go. Yes. So you're practicing meditation and also contemplation when you allow yourself the empowering, the positive self-talk, being curious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's incredible. And I know I can keep going hours and hours with you because you have so much wisdom inside of you and so much beauty. And I want to be really respectful of your time. So for the viewers or the listeners who are now so excited to follow you on your journey, and I know that in a few next days, you're also doing your tour, right? You will be in Santa Monica, you will be in San Diego, and then I believe Miami.
In New York, and then Miami in November. Yeah, so People can head over to my Instagram at I am Sahara Rose and my website also. I have a quiz to take your dosha, which is a really good place to start. It will tell you your dosha in your mind and in your body. So that's IamSaharaRose.com. And my book is Eat, Feel Fresh, Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda. And I have a podcast also called Highest Self Podcast, where I talk a lot about these things and Shiva Shakti and being and doing and all that good stuff. So yeah, so and if you found me on this podcast, shoot me a DM. I'd love to hear from you guys and support you on your journeys.
Thank you so much for showing up. This was so beautiful. I really appreciate you. And I'm so excited to stay connected with you and supporting you on your beautiful journey. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm happy we could share this time together to create a space for the new exciting life that is on its way. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing and I would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. Leave us honest thoughts and comments. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would be really appreciated if you can help us on a journey to helping thousands and thousands of people.